Welcome to the Short Commute Podcast. Pastor Drew and Zach here, talking about the famous Abraham Kuyper. Abraham Kuyper, who was a theologian in the Netherlands in the early 1900s, late 1800s, and wrote this famous quote that has shaped Calvinist theology some, about every square inch belonging to God. And Drew, you have that, right?
The quote is, "There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine."
Which means, essentially, the whole world belongs to God.
Yeah, the lordship of Jesus Christ over all creation.
And all things.
Yeah, not just the church,
yep.
Not just what we perceive to be Christian things or religious things, but everything.
Everything. And now that's a quote that gets used quite frequently in CRC circles.
Yes.
Because it's a pretty formative quote for how we try to do ministry. And now I'm bringing to the table a little different way of utilizing it. So in my experience and in stuff that I've read, CRC people, Reformed people, have been commended for their critical thinking. We are critical people, and I mean that in the kindest way. Being critical sometimes does not have nice connotations, but I sincerely mean it genuinely. That we are critical people, we are thoughtful,
discerning,
we are slow in making decisions sometimes, but it's because we want to get to the best possible solution. So I mean that as being commendable, but it often puts us behind the eight ball. One example, church in America starts using guitars in worship. According to Abraham Kuyper, if every square inch belongs to Christ, guitars belong to Christ, and guitars ought to bring him praise. Well, being good Reformed people, we had to be thoughtful about it. We had to criticize and think critically about how that might be used and what way it might best be used and why it might not be used. And we came to the conclusion eventually, yes, we can use this in our worship, and it can be God-honoring. Now, by the time we're including it in our worship, the church has moved on to something else. That might be okay. I'll reiterate again, thinking critically is commendable. But what if we took this quote by Abraham Kuyper about every square inch of this world belonging to Christ, and instead of being reactive, what if we were proactive and said, how much stuff can I go out there and redeem and use for worship?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Maybe just to fill out the picture of what you're talking about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just CRC people, it's not just Reformed people, it's the church in general has historically been very reactionary. So for instance, and I gotta be a little careful here, but you know, looking at significant cultural trends of the last 100 years, when films and movies became a big thing in the 1920s or so, the Christian Reformed Church, rather than looking at that as something to be redeemed and enjoyed and, you know, infused with Christian values, mm-hmm. and, you know, Christian creative energy and that sort of thing, they came out with a statement condemning worldly amusements and saying, you know, this is a new thing and we're scared of it and we think that it's not going to be any good, and so we encourage people to stay away from it. What did that do? Well, from what I understand from different stories that my grandparents have told, Christians enjoyed movies, but they had to do it on the sly.
Mm-hmm.
Movies and film were not something that Christians obviously were concerned to invest in or to, as an industry, to get into. And therefore, right off the bat, the secular world had control and domain over, you know, film and movie media. And, you know, obviously Christians came around later and started to make movies and that sort of thing, but, you know, at much less quality because we weren't embracing it and redeeming it from the very beginning. Same thing, I think, happened when, in the 50s, TVs came into the households, and you know, it's it doesn't seem good. We got to be careful with this. And so you're kind of applying this more focused on worship. And yeah, again, you look at the history of the church, and you know, even from Bible times where it talks about dancing, and it talks about lament, where it talks about the use of different musical instruments, where it implies singing and speaking together. And all along the way, even though these are very biblically outlined ways of worship, you know, we've always, the church has pushed back on that, and I think missed out on the fullness that God wants us to have in worship.
Right. But it is bigger than worship. You're right. And that was my first example. But what if, I mean, use movies and television, for example. What if when movies had become a popular thing, right away Christians had said, oh, we can make films to share about the gospel of Jesus Christ with people in an era where people are just dying to watch films?
Yeah.
We can, their TVs are going in the home. We have a way to broadcast church to people and broadcast worship and broadcast the message of the gospel straight into people's living rooms all over the country and the world. Like, we should just be falling over trying to use these tools that exist in the world and redeem them for Christ and accomplish kingdom work with them. And instead, we've been reactionary and missed opportunities, quite frankly.
And it's still the case. You have a huge demographic of Christians who, although they're using technology just as much as everybody else, there's this view of technology as, okay, we're suspicious of this. You know, we kind of point out all the negative things, but in a sense, it's true. There's a lot of things that people didn't consider, a lot of negative things that come with technology.
Yep.
But where are the Christians taking the reins to shape the future of technology, and you know, bringing this back under the lordship of Jesus Christ?
Yeah,
where are the Christians that say, you know what, this is the square inch that I want to participate with God to redeem.
I think of things, I mean, you're trying to forecast a little bit because it's easy to look. I mean, hindsight is 2020. Mm-hmm. It's easy to look back and say, oh, yeah, we could have been doing more with TV and movies and music. But I don't know what it might be in the future. But I think of, you know, we live in this culture where it seems like every week there's a new dance craze and everyone's got to videotape themselves doing this dance and share it. What if the church would come up with their own dance as a way to, you know, share the message of the gospel in a fun, silly way, and that would go viral, and people all over the world would be participating in that? Or what else? What if we saw Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook not as these evils or something to be wary of, which, of course, there are misuses of them, and that makes that true. But what if we were like, whoa, what an awesome way to communicate with people, and what if we found ways, and I don't know what it would look like, but what if we lived not as reactionary, but as proactive, I guess, is all I'm asking. What would we find, and what could we accomplish? And I guess the flip side of that is then, what might some pitfalls be?
The pitfalls are obviously, when you're on the cutting edge, you're taking the biggest risks.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's the way it is in scientific theory. That's the way it is in business and economics. That's the way it is in the arts. You know, it always has been. When you're on the cutting edge, you know, you run the risk of being the first one down the path that doesn't necessarily lead to something redemptive or valuable. You know what I mean? So even in being on the cutting edge, even in being the innovators when it comes to worship, when it comes to infusing our faith into our vocations and daily activities, you know, we still need to be exercising discernment.
Well, we'll keep thinking about ways to redeem every square inch for the lordship of Christ. And if you come up with ways, feel free to share them or comment or post. And we would love to participate with you in different work. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.